It says in 2 Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier. The gentleman this morning had a good discussion on being a soldier for Christ. You have your hymn collection here. Stand up for Jesus. This song means so much to me because at one time I brought shame to that great name of Jesus Christ our Savior. And by His mercy, I now have the opportunity to bring glory to His holy name. 'Tis mercy all. And soldiers have something in common with Christians. For as Christians, we are co-buried with Jesus Christ into His death by baptism. And Paul calls that, in Colossians, the circumcision made without hands. Isn't that interesting? And since we are co-buried with Christ into His baptism, by baptism, we're buried, co-buried with Christ into His death. Means we die. We've died into His death. So we're dead unto the world and alive unto Christ. And we discussed this morning what makes a good soldier. A good soldier counts himself already dead. So that in combat he's not trying to save his life. He's trying to help His friends in arms. That's what makes a soldier effective in combat. He counts himself already dead. We can, as Christians, count ourselves already dead with Christ. So we are soldiers too.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye who know men now serve Him, against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. One arm of flesh will fail you, but you dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. The day of mine's a battle, the next the victor's song. To Him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. Even with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Now we can sing the song, the psalm, from Psalms chapter 65 to the same tune.
Praise wakes for thee in Zion, to thee our faith shall be. O God of prayer, the hearer, in earnest shall come to thee. Iniquities are daily prevailing over me, but all of our transgressions are covered o'er by thee. How blessed the man thou choosest and bringest near to thee, that in thy courts forever his dwelling place shall be. We shall within thy temple be wholly satisfied and filled with all the goodness thy sacred courts provide. O God of our salvation, now in thy righteousness, with awesome deeds and wonders, thine answer wilt express. O thou in whom confiding all ends of earth agree, and people who are sailing upon the farther sea.
Last hymn. Who's named that tune? And it has six verses instead of five. So just before we get to the last verse, let me sing you the verse that is hardly ever sung and is deep with scriptural meaning. Name this tune. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares,
dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe afar, and grace
Lord has promised good to me.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As life endures.
Here's the verse that's not often sung.
And when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace.
You know this one.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first
just in time to pick it up on the recording. No. It's very interesting to me. I know there's probably everybody does this when things like this happen, but we've had a military theme going all day since the prayer meeting this morning. And I had no cooperation with the Psalms aligning with my message or us having that discussion this morning. It just kind of happened. It's kind of weird how it goes. But turn to Joshua Chapter 1. Chapter 1. I titled this message after what we find in Joshua chapter 1, which says, "Be strong and of good courage." Starting in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, or a good courage. For unto this people, unto Israel, unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Two times now. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Pay attention. I'll probably recite this particular line multiple times throughout this message. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, or your road, the way in which you're going, prosperous. And then thou shalt have a good success. Then you will have a good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. There it is again. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, food, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which Yahweh your God giveth you to possess it. And so we'll stop there in reading. I chose this text to be a form of theme for discussion in some ways of what I already have discussed in this camp. If you remember going back to the message I put together in John, and I know that's been a few messages ago now, I said pay attention to that word may. Whenever Christ was speaking to the people. That's an important thing to pay attention to. And here we see the word mayest, that you mayest be able to do this and that. And I think that's an important thing to consider, the language of what's being said. I like to take a section of Scripture like this, if any of you have heard anything I've ever put together. I like to dwell on it, meditate on it, think about it, let it permeate, not just take it and mix it with that scripture and apply that scripture, not that we won't look at a couple other scriptures, but consider what it is that's being said here and what type of message Joshua was giving the people. He said, only be thou, in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Only that alone. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest, not that you will, but that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. 8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded you? Yahweh says. Haven't I commanded you that? What did he command? Only be thou strong and courageous, that you may do something. Continue looking at that and opening it up. Be strong and of a good courage. Three times. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh, or the Lord your God, is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Joshua, as I think we all know, but, you know, kids learn new things every day, so we're going to just mention it. Joshua was the successor of Moses. Moses was the lawgiver of Israel. He gave the people the law, not because he invented it, but because Yahweh chose him to stand on Mount Sinai and receive it and to give the people the Ten Commandments and all the law. It's the reason why we know to keep the feasts and how to keep them. It's the reason we know what to eat and not to eat. It's the reason that we know whatever it is that we do as Israelites. We go back to the law of God because Moses was a faithful man chosen in his household, the book of Hebrews says. And he was the one who was going to give the people the law. And then we have Joshua, the very next in line, whom Moses anoints. He puts his hands on and he says, "You're going to take my place when I die." And so Yahweh transfers, in a sense, the corporal leadership, where the core of the people would follow this guy where he went. And he starts the leadership, if you notice, with this statement. This is the first thing we have written in the book of Joshua, right? And what does he say to the people? He doesn't say anything less than the endorsement of the observation of Yahweh God's law as it was directly given to Moses. As my servant Moses said, that's what we do. That's what he says to the people. And that the idea of not turning from the law, going this way, going that way, turning from the law, would be obeyed. So, you shouldn't go to the right hand, or shouldn't go to the left hand of the road, but stay on the narrow path. But to do that which Yahweh, we're told, has spoken, that you may prosper wheresoever thou goest. So there's two mays in the text here. And this is aided in happening in the nation of Israel when the book of the law is said to be always in your mouth. That's when an Israelite that he's speaking to, as we believe that we are, under the command of Joshua, son of Nun, would speak. It was to be then seasoned in a sense. It was to be sprinkled with the salt of the covenant of God's law, always. That when they speak, when you speak of the law. You speak by the law, through its authority, as it was commanded to Moses. That even beyond the law in the mouth, this law is to be Israel's meditation, their thoughts. Why do I do what I do? What am I going to do? What are the things that I should do? Meditation. And so, with it being Israel's meditation, day and night, it says, the intention was that one may observe to do according to all that is written therein. That you may observe to do it. That even beyond the law in the mouth, this law was to also be your thoughts, your meditation. The law speaks of this multiple times throughout Deuteronomy, particularly when you lie down, when you wake up, put it on your doorpost, put it here, put it there, keep it in your mind all the time. Put it as frontlets between your eyes. Keep it before your face. Think about it all the time. I think that that's an incredibly important admonition that we're being asked to consider, that we may prosper. But the first may in what's being discussed here, the first that you might do, we normally think of may as might. You might be able to do something, right? Is not so much focused upon that you are going to possess the land. That's the second may. But the first may is that you might keep the law, that you may. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may keep the law as Moses taught it to you. You ever thought about what that means you're supposed to be like? What you're supposed to be desiring to want to be? Being only strong and courageous to try to do something that you just might be able to do it this day, the next day, day and night. And that even in your thoughts and minds, that's your hope. Notice it's not guaranteed to us that you will ever succeed. Actually, it's only a may. And so if you consider that language, it's not an absolute. And I think most people who try to keep the law realize why that's the case, because you're just never going to do it perfectly. And so even within the law of God, it's said, only be strong and courageous that you may do what Moses said. It's not saying that you'll ever do it, but that the meditation of the heart, that the meditation of the mind was to be that I might do it. Not that you will. And that I may possess the land and keep it and take it and divide it. Not that you will. So a lot of times we get hung up on when are we going to or be perfect, or when are we going to take over, or when are we going to get our way. But has it been preceded by the mentality that says, may I keep the law of God to the best of my ability? Are you strong and courageous not to conquer and to conquest, not to divide the land first, but to keep God's law, conquering and being strong at that? That's something that happens in our meditation, in our mouth, the way we speak, the way we think. It doesn't happen in the outward senses, so to speak, with the touch and what we actually do. God doesn't command that. He says, only be strong and courageous that you may keep my law, that you may meditate on it day and night. That's a hard thing to do. Everyone agree? Is there anybody here who every second of the day, day and night, meditates and speaks the law of God as Moses taught it? Nobody? Okay, I'll put my hand down too, because I don't either. But I'll tell you what, I really want my whole focus of life, if I can, and that's even hard, to only be strong and courageous to try to keep all that Moses said to the best of my ability. But I'm not even guaranteed I will be able to, because it's only a may. By the mouth of God, the way God spoke it, it was intentionally spoken that way. If you consider the Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as it speaks of all Scripture, and considering also another place where the word may is used in a similar fashion, I'd like to tie that in just in thought, in the way it applies. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 particularly. I carry this particular part of Scripture with me everywhere I go in the Bible, to keep me reminded. Paul spoke to Timothy, and so I'll remind you as well as he did, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means that it is breathed out. Theopneumos is the Greek word used. It actually means God breathed, literally, as literal as it gets. It means the breath of God moved something when he spoke. We call that inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, teaching in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. There it is again, another may. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. No guarantees that you're going to be. But to the man of God, they may strive to be perfect and be thoroughly furnished to all good works. So if we are men of God, we may be. That's the mentality again presented, that we may be perfect thoroughly furnished. That means made complete. Thoroughly equipped and given the ability unto all good works. And so with this we see in the law as it was given to men of God, with only the hope that they may be perfect. Again, with only the hope that you may be perfect. Those scriptures breathed by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. It actually came out of the mouth of God when he spoke it. It's really his word. It's truly the thing that he speaks. And that it can truly, thoroughly, completely furnish us unto all good works, to the good things that we are supposed to do. So notice how that applies to the terminology of what we read in Joshua 1:7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, that you may be able to do it. So I want to ask you, I want you to ask yourself, because we're going to be carrying hopefully what we gain here and maybe the little bit of thought I might be able to provoke in your mind throughout the week or maybe tomorrow or however long it lingers, to think about this. Ask yourself the honest question, do you hope or is your hope to be perfectly and completely furnished unto all good works? Are you strong and courageous to do that? Can you be honest with yourself that you're even at that level in all that we think and do? Is that what you want from God? A lot of times we think about it in a different light. We think about what we're doing for God. But do we want God to give us the ability to be better at keeping his law? Do we want him to bless us and thoroughly furnish unto all good works? Do we even want to be more perfect than we already are? That's the thought that precedes whether you're ever going to accomplish it. So when you lay your head down on the pillow at night and you go, yeah, I did pretty good today. It was all right. I don't think I broke any commandments necessarily, at least as you understand them. That thought has to precede that. You may have just by default not broken a commandment, but did you actually start with thinking, I want to be strong and courageous to keep God's law? And then I can maybe be strong and courageous, maybe to divide the land by lot among his people. See, so many of us haven't even crossed the number one threshold of only be thou strong and courageous to keep the law of Moses. Haven't even entertained the thought of praying to God to teach me more of your law that I may please you, that I can do more for you. It's not our meditation. Sometimes, and I can speak from my own wicked heart, Lord, don't teach me anymore. I'm going to look more weird to the world. I'm going to be more strange. I mean, what else is in this book I haven't seen yet that I might have to do that's going to make my life harder? That I might be one of your people. Maybe just hide it from me. Do we ever find a prayer for blindness, though, in the scriptures? But if we look deep inside of ourselves, I think that we can be honest to consider that that is a thought that we often entertain. And when we hide our face from the Lord, and when we hide ourselves from his word, to be strong and courageous, to do what he says, to try to do what it is that he tells us to do, that we may keep his law. When we don't even entertain that thought, why do we think that on the lowest level, that we should be able to divide the land to his people, that we may be able to do that? So when you catch those little tiny words in the Bible and you actually pay attention to them, it's generally whenever the text turns around and what you thought it said prior, you realize it didn't even say at all. Like when you first just read through Joshua as a story, you never even catch that kind of stuff. You think the whole thing's about dividing lot to Israel. Keep my commandments, do a good job, and then you'll get the land. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say, do my commandments, do a good job, then I'll give you land. It says, only be strong and courageous to try to do it. Meditate. Is that the meditation in your heart? Is it the thoughts of your mind? Is it the words that come out of your mouth? Is it who you speak You know, what you speak to your neighbors? Do we hope to be, as Timothy said, perfect or completely furnished unto all good works of God's law? Is that what the God-breathed inspiration of Scripture that teaches us doctrine and reproof, correction? Do we want it to do that to us? Do we want to be corrected again? Do we start with that idea on a daily basis? Lord, I'm yours. Make me strong and courageous that I may keep your law, all the law that Moses spoke. You're going to beat yourself up if you think you are going to do it, but not if you start with saying that I may be able to do it, just as God spoke the words. There's no room for slackness there. Why? Because God knows the meditations of your heart. He knows the words that come out of your mouth. He knows your thoughts in secret. He knows every thought that you have. Nothing is hidden from him. You are naked before him, and he knows every thought of your heart. So you can't hide it. He knows when you meditate on him day and night. And regardless of how you think about God's work within you and how his will affects you, as we've had lots of discussion on this week, you know whether or not you say, Lord, make me strong and courageous that I may keep your law. The whole next thought of conquering and dominion and conquest and dividing the land is down the road. You got to start having the thoughts instead of, I don't want to go to the left. I don't want to go to the right. I want to keep on the narrow path. Lord, give me the strength to walk that narrow path. I want to be strong and courageous. Have you ever even thought about how it takes strength and courage to keep God's law? And also, we'll say, well, that's because we live in a heathen world. The nation that we live in is wicked. They think we're weirdos. They don't like us because we keep God's law. Why Joshua need it then? This is Israel. This is the 12 tribes. Moses just died. But God tells Joshua, who is supposed to tell the people the same message. And he's telling them, be strong and be courageous. Because within the wickedness of man, they will always oppose the ways of God. Even if you're in the kingdom of Israel. Even if you're settling the land by lot. It doesn't take a whole lot of Israel's history to see this is the case. So no matter where you're at, time of David, pointed that out earlier. Whether you're in the time of David, and he says, because of your laws, your precepts, I've been made more wise than the ancients, and I asked you to consider. That's in David's time. And he's saying the law made him more wise than the ancients in the kingdom of Israel. And in this case, we're having, be thou strong and of good courage to keep the law within the nation of Israel. Not when you're dealing with the Canaanites. He's not talking about with the Canaanites. He's talking about all that the law of Moses said to do within your own people. Within the camp of Israel. These Israelites knew they were Israel. There was no question then. You didn't have to convince them. We're talking about Israelites who knew they were Israel. And they have to still be encouraged to keep God's law courageously among a wicked and perverse generation. Doesn't take all but four chapters to go back and look at the Song of Moses, and you'll see the prophecy of Israel going corrupt. It's the prophecy of our unfortunate history that we're always going to start out in a glorious, you know, place. God's going to lead us, take us out, and then we start forgetting God, forgetting who made us. We're not as strong. We get fat, we get kicked, we get rich, you know, and we start to forget everything. Next thing you know, we think that we're made out of slime off rocks, like people think today. And so, no matter where they were at in history, we have this utopia in our mind that back in history, back in Israel's day, things were great. They didn't have to be like we are. They didn't have to fight the crowd. They didn't have to go out there and proclaim God's law. That's nonsense. Or else this commandment didn't have to be there. Be strong and courageous. Only be thou strong and courageous, he says, to keep God's law. Only be strong and courageous to meditate on God's law. That even implies within itself that you need a strong courage to meditate. Who do you deal with when you meditate? Yourself. That's it. He's not even going out into all of Israel in this thought. He's dealing with the internal Israelite. When you speak to another person, and you speak according to God's law, you've got to deal with how they're going to react to what you say. When you meditate, on the other hand, you've only got to deal with you. Have you ever thought about how much strong courage it takes to deal with yourself? To keep God's law? Because as I said, from speaking from my own experience, what I can tell you is that the majority of what it is that you don't want to be weird. You don't want to be any more strange than you already are. At least that's what I feel. There's still that, like, I want to fit in a little bit with wherever you came from or whoever you live around or whatever it is, even in your own family sometimes. There's certain choices in our family that we've had to make where I knew my wife was going to think I flipped my lid because we're going to keep this commandment now, and I got to convince her of it next. It's just the way it works, especially as a man. Or as a woman. You know, sometimes women are going to see things that men don't see out of the scriptures. Believe it or not, it happens. And they come to you and say, "What do you think of this law, honey bun?" Nah, my wife doesn't call me honey bun. She said, "What do you think of this commandment? You think we should do something about this? I've been reading up on this fiber or on this way this is made or on this, and I don't know if it's lawful. What do you think?" Now I got to stop what I'm doing, investigate the law, get out the book, start studying, seeing if she's on to something. I got to be strong and courageous to deal with that. And she's got to be strong and courageous to say, you might be wrong on this point. We need a little tweak. Might be something out of place. And for me to tell her the same. That's just in the family. We're not even going out to the neighbors yet. We're not even talking about Joshua speaking to the hundreds of thousands of Israelites who have a wicked carnal nature just like you and me. Be strong and be courageous that you may be able to keep the law. I don't know if you've ever thought about some of that, but here's what the word may means according to Noah Webster. Just basically the closest dictionary you can get to the King James, so that's why we all use that. But, you know, there's like quite a few hundred years difference. But I'm pretty sure it's the same. The first definition that Noah Webster gave in the 1828 was to be possible for may. Mayest is considered the second person form of may, just so you know. He says may means to be possible. We say a thing may be, or maybe not. An event may happen. A thing may be done. If means are not wanting. If the means are not wanting. He says, in the second place, he says, to have physical power to be able. And so, in this particular section of chapter 1 of Joshua that we saw, as I pointed out already, three mayests of this. Only be strong and very courageous. There's three times that was listed. And the first time, as I've said many times and hopefully drilled into your mind now, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So we have observe to do according to all the law. Second one was, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. So we have, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That's what we're to be strong and courageous for. Those two times, to observe the law according to what Moses said, and not to turn from the right hand or to the left. In the third place of this, we have, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." So then we have, "The law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Those are all, as Noah Webster said, possibilities, not guarantees. So in these things which one is told to be only strong and of good courage in, the confirmation is, for then, we have a confirmation meaning, for then, if you try to possibly do this, to be strong and courageous to do this, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, there's more of a guarantee there. There's something actually being spoken of with no maze in it, no possibilities. But then it's a confirmation that if you try for this, you make this your possible goal, to be strong and courageous to do, then thou shalt make your way or your road prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. I think it should be noticed that this confirmation from verse 8, as you'll see it, is a blessing in the goal of number one, dividing the land promised to Israel by Yahweh. So you definitely see that that's part of that. It's the total end of the success. That's the end goal of it all. But it doesn't go at it from the standpoint that thou shalt keep this and you will absolutely, but that thou mayest and that you'll have courage to try, to have the possibility and the option to wake up to do it day and night. And then second, from verse 8, the way which one walks in the law, as they walk in the law, and not deviating to the right or to the left, so walking in the straight line, and keeping that way, that road, prosperous, that then thou shalt have a good success. Many people, I think, including self-included, you don't re-examine yourself, you don't really know how to deal with others, and we do all have that same nature that we described in our electrical analogy, that original nature. So we can speak upon it and inflect it upon others. It's there. Many people, including myself, want their strength and courage to be applied to the division of the land and to be the prosperity and the good success that's spoken of here. But few want their strength and courage to be counted towards how he or she may observe the law of God and take it over, to rightly divide it, to rightly understand it and apply it, and to be strong and courageous to do so. I take one who is a man of God, as Timothy spoke about, to be able to benefit from the hearing of the Scriptures, that the man of God, as a hearer of the Scripture and the book of the law included in the Scriptures, that being part of Scripture, that Spirit is able to make us wise unto salvation. Ultimately, there's that. There's no doubt about that. But also, that same breath of God that spoke the law was also able to make our life better. But it all starts with the courage and the strength to want to actually do it. Not to just accomplish it and be happy with yourself that you did it, but the recognition that it's only a possibility and that day in and day out, you want to do it. Day in and day out, you meditate on it. Day in and day out, when you speak with other people, the law is your consultation, your meditation. And that's how we deal with one another. That's how we deal with our neighbors. That's how we deal with ourselves. That is, in fact, from beginning to end, the cultural perspective of it Israelite who's been affected by the Spirit of God, who can actually hear it as a man of God, that may be perfect and thoroughly furnished to all good works. That they may be that person. That's only even directed towards the man of God in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. It's not even directed towards anyone else but the man of God. The non-man of God who tries to keep the law does him no good as far as benefits go. As far as making any profit on it like it goes past the initial purchase. And so, if there's anything I want to stress on this level, it's that we, if we haven't, you, if you haven't, or if you've slipped from it, or if you haven't considered it, or if you haven't been raised in it, or whatever it is, I can tell you by the authority of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1, 2 Timothy 3, that your mentality should be, what does God want out of me? And to pray to Him, only make me strong and courageous to keep your law. First, worry about the other stuff once you can get there. Make me strong and courageous to keep your law. You would be amazed, I am sure, of the blessing that would come from just that mentality in meditation day and night. I know from my own perspective that as I have walked through the world and as I have changed my life to reflect God's law, even in the times where I thought, I'm definitely, this is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt me in the world. But Lord, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to do my best. That He's never failed me. That He's always come through for me. And when I'm speaking of that, I'm talking about whatever it is that is that you're going to be doing as you go home and go back to where we're all from. And whoever you interface with, family, friends, neighbors, yourself. To keep that thought, Lord, make me only to be strong and courageous, to keep all the law of Moses. Make me courageous to just want to. Just give me the meditation in my heart to want to. And to not care what others may think of me. To not care what I think of myself, but only make me to look more like your Son. That's where perfection is fully seen. And so I want to go to an ending thought from the Apostle Paul. And then from Deuteronomy chapter 6. After that, to consider. Go to the book of Philippians. Chapter 3. And I want you to consider this mentality. So often you will find, and because I know that most of the people here are younger than I am, and guys got a life ahead of you and stuff, you know, throw in a couple extra thoughts here along the way that I normally wouldn't put in a Bible study like this. But, you know, a lot of times you're going to find people who are going to use this exact scripture not to support what the Bible just said prior. They're going to use this scripture in Philippians 3, and we're going to start in verse 7, just for brevity's sake, but the whole chapter applies. They're going to use that to say, that's why we don't keep the law. That's why we don't care what the law has to say. That's why we don't try to keep the commandments. You know, and they're going to morph it into that Jesus is one thing, the law is another thing, and that there's no common ground between them. But from the angle we've already seen spelled out in Joshua chapter 1, which reveals to us how God wants us to understand Him. Paul says this, Philippians 3, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, manure. It's in the bottom of the outhouse out there. It's pretty descriptive language. Count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, But that which is through the faith of Christ, faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, that thou mayest, is the essence of what this is referring to. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Very important statement here. Not as though I've already attained. Not as though I've walked the path straightly in Joshua chapter 1. Not as though I've done it. Not as though I've already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. To apprehend is to grab onto something, to arrest something, like a cop when they pull you over and they take you to jail, right? Or whatever they're going to do, wherever you get caught, or whatever you're doing. And they apprehend you. That's what he's talking about. Be arrested. To arrest that which arrests me. To be made in that way. So he says, not as though I've already attained or I've arrested it, that I have grabbed a hold of it altogether perfectly, but that I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have already grabbed a hold of it and to got a hold of it, is what Paul says. I don't count myself as though I've already done it perfectly. Either that I were already perfect, he says, but I'm still following after. And so he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I keep forgetting those things which are behind me. And I keep reaching forward unto those things which are now before me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now notice, prior he said with the possibility, the may almost, if you will, that he may be perfect. That he may be found conformable into his image. This time he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Be this way minded, meditating. That if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. And so he's kind of making a circular thought here that you'll think about this. That if God will reveal anything to you, that you will have this revealed to you. That you want this revealed to you. That's called meditation, once again. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Whatever we've already done, it's not over. But let us keep walking by that same standard, the same rule, the same law, whatever word you want to use to explain it. Let us keep pushing towards that. Let us walk by that same rule. Let us mind those same things. And so listen. Especially to those who are young, but to those of us who are old or older. If we think that we have attained, or if you think that you are yet to attain the high prize of the calling of God, continue to still strive for the prize. No matter where you think you've got already, how good you already think you are, how courageous and strong you think you are, that you're still saying, God, still make me strong and courageous to do more. To keep pressing for the mark like it's a race, like it's a prize, like it's a victory. And want God to give you the strength and courage to continue the running of the race. To continue to walk in His ways and to allow the Spirit of God to call to you to be more obedient to His law in your life. Only be strong and of good courage, that you may observe to do according to all that is written, in the book of the law. Not to desire conquest alone. The conquest comes with the obedience. It's the blessing of the obedience. It's not the repercussion of the perfection. Opportunity arise. And so, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and some final thoughts, which is where a lot of what Joshua is saying and what Tyler actually read to us this morning. That wasn't planned either. Where a lot of this comes from. Where we see the mentality that God wants us to have. And I could do a whole other blow-up exposition on this too. In the same exact way that we just did it in Joshua. It says the same thing, just a little differently. The way Moses worded it versus the way Joshua worded it. Now these are the commandments, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord Yahweh your God commands to teach you, that you might do them, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you mightest fear Yahweh thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as Yahweh God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, here's the greatest commandment, called, commonly referred to as the Shema, which is the word hear in Hebrew. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might. And that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and that thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for signs upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. I want special attention to be paid as we conclude our thoughts here, that what Yahweh says that we should do is that we should love Yahweh your God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our might. That we should love that. That's the thing that's going to cause us to continue to pray, Lord, make me strong and courageous that I may keep all that Moses has commanded. It's the love. And in this particular greatest commandment, Yahweh is commanding love. In the other, we say, we want to be strong and courageous that we may keep your law. It's the same thing. It's the commanding of love. Because you love me, keep my commandments. And so, I sincerely do hope, as we go back to being the oddballs out, right now we're all together and we're like, hey, we got a bunch of people like us around. It's good, you know, but we're going to go back to being the oddballs at work. We're going to go back to being the oddballs in society. That we can carry this. This is particularly why I formulated this message to encourage you with for this family camp. For us to individually carry with us as we go through whatever we're going to encounter, to carry this strength and courage with us. I just hope that you take it for what it is, and it gives you the thought to ask for those types of things. So thanks for your quiets and your patience.